Okay, so happy Ram Navami, everybody. And, all right, we can speak about Lord Ram. Actually, what I'm going to do today is talk about the pastimes, not specifically all the pastimes, but I'm going to talk about the lessons we can learn from the pastimes of Lord Ram. A little bit different approach to Ram Navami today. So, first we're going to chant, I guess, Sita Ram. That's appropriate. Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram. Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram.
Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Ram, Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Ram.
Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Ram, Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Ram.
Pati Pati Rana Rana, Patita Rama Sita Ram.
Patita Rama Rama, Patita Rama Sita Ram.
Patita Rama Rama, Patita Rama Sita Ram.
Shri
Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Ram Ram.
Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram,
Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Ram Ram. Sita Ram, Sita Ram,
Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram, Sita Ram.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad. Paramahansa Paravidakacharya, All Sri Teta, Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chananad, Bhaktivedanta, Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Vidas Thakur Ki Jai, Vrem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha, Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Thank you for telling me. Anyway, you're recording in any case. So we're always connected in the spiritual platform. So another lesson we can learn from the Ramayana is how one should be an ideal leader. Let's say if one is a king, of course we don't have too many kings here, but if one is a GBC temple president, like an ISKCON connection, one should consider everyone who is working with you at equally without having any bias. So Lord Ram, he considered all of his citizens to be equal to his family. In other words, he wasn't discriminating. He considered all the citizens to be like his children. He's an ideal leader. And another lesson from the Ramayana is the parampara, the lesson of parampara, disciplic succession, where you have Valmiki, who is the author of the Ramayana, which I've mentioned the story of before. He was instructed by Brahma and Narada Muni to compose the Ramayana, and under the instruction of his spiritual masters, he did this. Another lesson or understanding we get from the Ramayana, the Valmiki Ramayana, is that Ram's pastimes are eternal. This is a very interesting story which I told last night. That once upon a time, as we know, Lord Ram appeared in the Suryavamsa. Generally, when the Lord appears, he appears either in the Sun Dynasty or in the Moon Dynasty. Moon Dynasty, of course, is the Somavamsa. The Sun Dynasty is the Suryavamsa. So, many millions of years before Lord Ram appeared, Vivaswan, who is the first member of the Surya or Sun Dynasty, he was given or had Sita Ram deities. Now that's quite interesting, considering that Sita Ram had not yet appeared, at least during that particular Yuga cycle. And how could he have those deities before Sita Ram appeared? Because he had the knowledge based on hearing the Bhagavatam, which was present at that time. He had the knowledge that Sita and Ram are manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ram and Sita Devi. And so, and that they had appeared in other universes or at other times. So he was worshiping these deities. And as he was worshiping these deities, he later on gave the deities to Manu, his son. The deities were later on given to Ikshvaku, Manu's son, and passed down through his, I guess, seminal succession or disciplic succession, all the way down to Ram. So Ram was given these same deities that have been worshipped since time immemorial. And he did not want to worship his own deities. Obviously. So he put the deities in the closet. But there was a Brahmin in Ram's kingdom of Ayodhya. And this Brahmin had taken a vow of not eating until he saw Ram that particular day. And so that was problematic because the Brahmin could not eat when Ram was going to the forest, because Ram would oftentimes go out and visit different parts of his kingdom. And so this poor Brahmin was starving to death. So then he approached Ram with his problem, and Ram gave him those deities. And so he was worshiping these deities, and of course he was able to eat, and he became healthy again. And he later on gave those deities to Hanuman. Hanuman was worshipping those deities. And then after that, sometime, Hanuman gave those deities to Omadvacharya, the great personality. Madhvacharya, of course, and Hanuman and Bhimsen are called Vayuputras. That means they're the three sons of Vayu, the wind god. And those deities are still there today in a place called Udupi in India. If you ever go to Udupi, have you seen those deities? You've been there, seen those deities. So those are the same deities that were kept by Ram, that were originally coming from Vipaswami, and were worshipped by Hanuman and Shripad Madhvacharya. So, another lesson we can learn is the lesson of compassion. So oftentimes we say, Patita Pavana Sita Ram, Shri Ram, Jai Jai Ram. So, Lord Ram accepted Ravana as his very own. After Ravana was killed, Ram said that the animosity between both of us has ended, and he accepted it as his own, as one of his own. Of course, we understand that Ravan was ultimately one of the pair, a Jaya and Vijaya who was cursed to come down to the earth planet to fight with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Lord Ram was willing, at least the pastime shows that he was willing to be compassionate and accept, and also Indrajit in the same way. Very, very compassionate, not considering anyone to be his enemy. Another lesson we can learn is from the Ramayana is the danger of lust. Lust, of course, is the all devouring sinful enemy of this world, according to the Bhagavad Gita. And so we have the pastime, one pastime of Sarpanaka. I assume that most of you know that pastime. Sarpanaka was Ravana's sister. And the name Sarpanaka means someone with long nails, curved nails. And Sarpanaka had the benediction of being able to change her form and shape at any particular time. She got that benediction from Lord Brahma. When she and Raman and Kumbhakarna and Vibhishan were performing austerities. So Sarpanaka became attracted to Lord Ram. And when she became attracted to Lord Ram, she was told by Lord Ram that I already have a wife, so maybe you should see my brother. And so Sarpanaka went to Lakshman, and Lakshman said, you know, better not to approach me, because if we get married, you will have to become the servant of Lord Ram. And so then she went back to Lord Ram, and she said, I'm going to kill your wife. And she started to try to kill Sita Devi, and of course, as a result, Lakshman cut off her nose. Sorry about that, ladies. Her nose and ears, and she went away, and she was so upset. Of course, obviously you'd be upset. Your nose and ears have been cut off. But she was so upset she inspired Ravan to kidnap Sita Devi. So you can see that lust led to her demise in this particular case. And not only lead to her demise, but it led to the demise of Ravan. So you see the dangers of lust. Of course, because she was in love or lust with Ram, she later on got a chance to be with Ram, but not in that particular incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She later on got a chance when Krishna appeared. Because when Krishna entered Dwarka, she was there in the form of Kubja. And Kubja, of course, was the hunchback lady who was making some sandalwood. And so Krishna and Balaram asked for the sandalwood. And when Krishna and Balaram asked for the sandalwood, she gave him the sandalwood. It was meant for Kamsa, actually. And Krishna straightened her up. She came straight and very beautiful at that particular point. And then she got very lusty towards Krishna. But at that point, Krishna or Balaram didn't cut off her nose and ears. Krishna later on agreed to meet with her, and after he had killed Kamsa and taken care of some other business in Mathura, he met with her. So that teaches us that even if one has some ulterior purpose, now I'm not saying that you should approach Krishna with a lusty way, like Sukhanaka did, or like Kupcha did, but as the Bhagavatam states, what akama sarvakama moksha karma dharati, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham puram. Whether one is full of material desires, whether one is free of material desires, or whether one is desiring liberation, one should approach Krishna. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham puram. Which means one should approach the Supreme Personality of God and worship Krishna with great enthusiasm. Tivra bhakti means great enthusiasm, one-pointedness, a very forceful type of, not forceful in a negative way, but worship the Lord in a very enthusiastic way. So we understand, and Krishna also in the Gita says that four types of people approach him, chatur, vidha, bhajanti, mam. And these four types of people are considered pious by Krishna because ultimately they will come to the perfectional platform if they can continue devotional service. Just like you have the story of Dhruva Maharaj, who had the desire of a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. And his desire was actually perhaps the most intense desire you can think of. But because he worshipped Krishna, he became free of that desire. And later on, when he saw the Lord, he said, I was looking for some pieces of broken glass, but I have found a wonderful gem or jewel. So this is another important lesson we can learn, that one should worship Krishna, whether you have desires, whether you don't have desires, or whether your desires is liberation. So Sukhanaka teaches us this. Another lesson, and you ladies will like this one, is that one should not offend a chaste woman. If one offends a chaste woman, then the duration of one's life is diminished, one's good fortune is diminished, one loses everything. And we learn this from the Ramayana in a very interesting story that's told about the appearance, well actually, I'm not going to get into all the details, but there's a story about a lady who stopped the rising of the sun when her husband was cursed by the sage Markandeya Rishi. Her husband had leprosy, and by accident he touched the sage Markandeya Rishi, and Markandeya Rishi cursed him to die before the rising of the sun the next day. And then as a result, she said, I'm not going to allow the sun to rise the next day. And the sun didn't rise the next day. Also in the Ramayana, you have the story of the Mahabharata. You have the story of Savitri and Satyavan, in which Savitri was able to save her husband from Yamaraj. So it's very, very important. And then there's the story of Vedavati in the Ramayana. The Vedavati was Sita, before Sita actually appeared, first appearance, and she was meditating to get the Lord as her husband, and Ravana comes down to try to attract her or grab her, and she makes her hand like a razor blade to cut the hair, her hair that Ravana had grabbed. So extreme chastity is very much stressed, and the danger of offending a chaste woman. Also, there's the story when Ravan was trying to attack, or at least impress, Lord Shiva. He lifted Mount Kailash, and when he lifted Mount Kailash, Lord Shiva put his thumb down, but Parvati, Durga, was so upset that she cursed Ravan to die because of a woman. So many, many stories there in the Ramayana stressing the dedication or the importance of not offending a chaste woman. Another story or another. The lesson we can learn is the dedication of the servants of Ram, like Hanuman, Jatayu, the residents of Ayodhya. At the end of Ram's pastimes, the residents of Ayodhya could not live without Ram, and Ram instructed them that you can enter into the river, you can leave this world with me and go back to the spiritual realm. And all the residents of Ayodhya entered into the river, the Sarayu River, and went back to the spiritual world with Ram. So they were so dedicated, and Hanuman is always pictured at the lotus feet of Ram. Sacrificed his whole life trying to protect Sita Narayan about dedication of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we can also apply that in relationship to our service to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master. This particular one-pointed dedication. A.K. Hakurananda, like we see with Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, Srila Prabhupada was completely dedicated, focused on pleasing the spiritual master, and that's why he came to the Western world, because of the order of the spiritual master. Prabhupada himself commented that the statement that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes in his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita verse, Vyavasayatmanda Purdir, Ekeha Kurinandana, Bohushapasananta, etc., that statement was the essential principle in spiritual life, to follow the order of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. Srila Prabhupada got the order to come to the Western world and preach Krishna consciousness, and many of his godbrothers had gotten the same order, those who actually were able to speak English. But Prabhupada was the one who took up that order, and took up that order seriously. So that lesson we can see or learn from Prabhupada's pastimes, that if we want to become empowered in Krishna consciousness, we should get dedicated or be dedicated to the order of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Another lesson from the Ramayana is that death is inevitable. One story that's told in the Ramayana is one of the side stories. Is the story of Sunda and Upasunda, and it also relates to Ravana's benedictions, because Ravana got the benediction, as we know, of not, from Lord Brahma, of not being killed by any higher living entity, not being killed by any yaksha, not being killed by anyone but neglected human beings. And so eventually he gets killed, and same thing with the pastime of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu thought he would cheat death by asking for the benedictions that he wouldn't be killed in different ways, and he thought he covered all the bases, so to speak. He said, not the inside, not the outside, not day or night, or not by any weapon. And he didn't realize that he left out the dusk, which is the time between the day and the night. He didn't realize he left out that there's a doorway, which is not inside, not outside. And he didn't realize that the Lord would assume a half lion, half man form to kill him. So whatever arrangement one is making, this is the point, then death is always going to be there. Mrityu Sarva Maras Chaham, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm all devouring death. And the final lesson that I'm going to talk about tonight is very important for us, because it's Ram Navami and we are celebrating Lord Ram's appearance day. So it's, the lesson is that devotees should celebrate. And this lesson is based on a particular pastime in the Ramayana, that when the monkeys, they were looking for Sita Devi. Ram had sent them out, and Sugriva had sent them out to look for Sita Devi. And they went to the shore of the ocean, and Hanuman flew over the ocean and found Sita Devi, set fire to Lanka, came back. And then they were on their way back to inform Ram and Sugriva so that Ram and Sugriva could save Sita Devi later on. And so on the way back, they decided to celebrate. And how did they decide to celebrate? Of course, don't imitate this. They went into a garden of what's called Manuvan. Manu means honey, a honey garden, a honey forest. And they all got intoxicated on honey. All the monkeys, they were drinking honey, and even it's described they were so intoxicated on honey that they beat up the guard of the honey garden. And then eventually, they celebrated in that way. So one of the lessons we can learn is that it's all right to have a good time in Krishna consciousness. So today is Ram Navami, and we're expecting, we're having a good time and worshiping and remembering Lord Ram, and especially remembering these lessons that I mentioned today, many more lessons, of course, and applying these lessons in our own lives. Because it's not that we should simply read Shastra as a bunch of stories. Of course, we do appreciate the Lord's pastimes, but there are things that we can learn. These are didactic stories. Didactic means that they're teaching us something that we can learn in our own lives or apply in our own lives and thereby become perfect in Krishna consciousness and perfect gentlemen and ladies. So, thank you very much. I think it's time, I was told, 5:15 we should end. And unless someone has any questions about the Ramayana. Yes?
With the Ramayana, we have two different versions, the Tulsi Das version and the Valmiki's version. Is there any reason why the... which version that did Prabhupada want the devotees to read?
So, as far as the Ramayana is concerned, there's something like 20 different versions of the Ramayana.
20, oh.
Yeah. The original version of the Ramayana is the Valmiki Ramayana, which is written or spoken in Sanskrit. And in different areas of India, like in South India, in certain states, you'll have a Telugu Ramayana or a Tamil Ramayana. And so, these are summaries, just like in ISKCON, we have devotees who have written summaries on the Ramayana, right?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. That's actually quite nice. Summaries that are written in what we call the vernacular language, the ordinary language of people in the country, so that people can appreciate Lord Ram. So, however, the original Ramayana is the Valmiki Ramayana. Yeah, and Prabhupada wanted us to read. And Prabhupada at one point actually said he was proposing to translate the Valmiki Ramayana. It's written in very beautiful Sanskrit. There's 100,000 verses and 500 cantos in the Valmiki Ramayana. And it's all written in the same meter. Same meter means it's poetry. It's the world's largest epic poem. Beautiful poem, and if you can read it, of course you probably can read it in Sanskrit, but there's some good translations that are out there, and it's quite a wonderful work. I read it a few times. Okay, any other questions or comments or problems? No? Yes, Vaishnavi. Equality. One shouldn't offend a chaste sannyasi. So, the point is, what does chastity mean? Chastity means that one is actually very focused on one's goals in life, particularly upon the persons who you have a relationship with. You know, in marriage, it's a particular relationship. Or with a disciple and spiritual master, it's a particular relationship. Or with a devotee and his worshipable Ishtadeva, into a particular relationship. So one should be very focused, like that. So, but one should not offend someone, especially ladies, the mention is given in the Ramayana. Because the whole Ramayana war occurred because Sita Devi was offended. The whole Mahabharata war occurred because Draupadi was offended. The Pandavas would have made peace otherwise. But because Draupadi was offended and there was the attempt to disrobe him, they could not forget that. And that's why Duryodhana, you know the story in the Mahabharata, had to have his thighs broken. And Dushasana, well, I'm not going to mention what happened to him, because it might shock some people. But anyway, Dushasana had to get his reaction too. Because and the whole conflagration occurred because of the offending of Draupadi. So one has to be very careful. Okay? Yes, but don't offend chaste brahmacharis either. Or chaste husbands. So, any other questions? Yes?
Maharaj, you spoke about loyalty. And we see that even Bhishma took the wrong side in the Kaurava Pandava conflict.
Yeah.
He's a Mahajan. How do we understand it?
Okay, very good question. So the question was raised, Bhishma is one of what we call the Dwadasha Mahajanas, the 12 great souls, who teach by example, according to the Mahabharata, isn't it? So, what happened with Bhishma? Bhishma knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was in full knowledge of that. Prabhupada explains that Bhishma was, now this may appear a little strange, was eating food cooked in the Duryodhana's kitchen. And his mind became wicked as a result. Because we know the principle, Bhagavad Gita teaches us the principle of what? Karnam guna sangasya sarasa jadma jyonishu. That people's consciousness becomes influenced by association with modes of nature. So when someone, it's a subtle force. So when someone cooks for you, and their attitude or consciousness is very low, you will absorb that consciousness. And so Grandfather Bhishma, not only Bhishma, but Dronacharya, Kripacharya, and I'm sure there were others, their consciousness became affected. But guess who did? Vidura. Because Vidura never ate with Duryodhana. And when Krishna came to try to make peace between the Kurus and the Pandavas, he refused to eat with Duryodhana. And he ate with Vidura, and the story is that Vidura only had some porridge, and he was happy with that. And in the Mahabharata, the full of Mahabharata, it's mentioned that the demons were able to possess Grandfather Bhishma. You read the full Ganguly edition of the Mahabharata. What happened, it was an interesting story, it has nothing to do with Ramayana, but thank you for asking the question. What happened is that one time, Duryodhana was captured by the Gandharvas and he had to be rescued by Arjuna, and he was so upset that he was rescued by Arjuna that he decided to meditate until he died. So he was sitting there giving up eating and all sorts of liquids and everything like that, and he wanted to leave his body, and the demons came and took him out of his body. And they gave him a pep talk. Like you see sometimes before a football game, the football players will have a pep talk. And they told him, look, you came down to earth. Because remember, Duryodhana was an incarnation of Kali Yuga. And Shakuni and Duryodhana were Kali and Dwarpa, the personification of the different beings. And so the demon said to him, you've come down for this particular purpose, and your purpose is to kill the pious people, instead of Krishna's purpose is to protect the pious people. because the demons have actually taken birth on the earth planet as kings at that particular point. So, anyway, so they said, don't worry, we are going to be able to possess Bhishma and Dronacharya and Kripacharya. So, therefore, actually it's an important point. If we want to remain fixed in our devotional service, or chaste, or devoted, or one-pointed, it's important to keep our consciousness pure. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that instruction when he was asked about the quality or qualities of Vaishnavas. He said, the satsangacha in Vaishnavacharya, to avoid bad association. That doesn't mean we become fanatic and we, you know, run away each time we see someone who's not. We're kind to everyone. At the same time, we have to be very careful to protect the purity of our consciousness. Because the grandfather Bhishma, that's an example for us. A grandfather Bhishma could be effective in such a way, what to speak of any of us. My Prabhupada said one time, you Western boys and girls are not enough afraid of Maya. So, Western boys and girls. We're not boys or girls anymore. Thank you for the question. It's a nice question. So, any other questions? Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned chanting in another bus.
Yeah.
Will not take us back to Godhead, but give liberation. So, what type of liberation?
That liberation means you become free from your past karma. And you get the opportunity to take up devotional service. Let's tell the story of Ajamil very quickly. Ajamil was very sinful. You know, he gave up his good wife, he gave up everything, and took up a very sinful life, was killing, actually killed his parents. And so, at the end of his life, guess who came for him? Yamadutas. But, at the same time, he was crying out for his son. Everybody knows who his son's name was? Narayan, 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 Narayan. So at the same time, the Vishnudutas came. And the Vishnudutas stopped the Yamadutas. Okay. However, he didn't go back to Godhead at that point. You know, some people don't remember the whole story. They think, oh, he went back to Godhead. He didn't. They gave him a new lease on life. And he was able to go later on to somewhere in the Himalayas.
Hardwar.
Thank you. He went to Hardwar, performed austerities, then the same Vishnudutas came, took him back to God. So it brings one to the point, it gives one the opportunity. You know, oftentimes we hear about liberation, one goes to the Rathyatra, one gets liberation, one gets run over by the cart. Don't do that. You get liberation. But you're given the opportunity. You get freedom from karma. But it's not enough. It's not enough. Because you have to chant and hear the pure name, the Shudanam. And therefore you have to get the Shudanam from the pure devotee. Does that make sense? And then you have to chant purely, avoiding the 10 offenses, chanting in the mood,